This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. The COVID-19 pandemic has been a community-wide traumatic event. On top of a health crisis, we're also facing a mental health crisis, as nearly every aspect of our lives is touched by this pandemic. Many of us are ready for the end of 2020. But the new year won't necessarily bring clarity to help us move forward. And with the holidays coming up, there are additional choices and stressors to face. So how can we make sure we're taking care of ourselves as we face a long winter and cases continue to surge? Christine Finnerty is a mental health therapist in Elm Grove, Wisconsin, and she joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to share some advice on how to remain resilient and address some common concerns.
Christine Finnerty, welcome back to Lake Effect. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Oh, thanks so much for reaching out.
So the end of the year is upon us, and usually it's a time of reflection or setting goals for the next year, but I'm sure there's a big consensus that many of us just want 2020 to be over with. But, you know, despite a calendar change, that doesn't change what we've been dealing with. So do you think most of us just don't realize how much we've been going through these past months, or at least in the way some of the smaller constant things build up and impact us over time?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes and no. I think that we do understand, we do feel it. We do know that there has been a buildup because I think we're feeling it. And I think that the areas where we're feeling it is that we're all tired. We're just exhausted, but we're not exhausted in the same ways that we were when you and I had talked, you know, a couple months ago. That was when everything was sort of new and we were trying to figure out how to adjust and how to pivot and how to push into the newness of sort of this COVID way of life. The exhaustion and the lack of motivation and the lethargy that we're feeling now is really as a result of the lack of the time that we've had, the lack of physical connection to other people, that intimate relationship that we have with people. You know, one of the best ways for us to be able to regulate our own stress response to things is to be in the presence of other people. It's so important for us to be able to see other people, to see and to be seen by other people and people who we consider our people. So members of the community, our family members, coworkers, classmates, teammates. The lethargy that we're experiencing is a symptom of not being in the physical presence of others. And it's a different kind of low that my clients have been coming into the office with. It's a different low than a physical or emotional low. It really is that lack of the intrinsic need to be physically connected to other people.
Right. And, you know, what have you been hearing or dealing with the most in your practice with listening to your clients going through struggles of 2020? You know, do you have any top concerns of what this time has done to us?
You know, I think it does circle back to that need for connection to one another. And so the answer to this is sort of twofold. We're experiencing that lack of connection to other people. We need that connection. We need that hug, that laugh, that shoulder to lean on, that handshake, just to be able to sit with someone and to spend some physical time in their presence is something we're really yearning for. But at the same time, you know, we have technology that we've really been leaning into and taking advantage of. And it's great for things like this interview, or look at how the school systems are operating right now. It has been wonderful. But at the same time, our lack of physical connection with one another and our over-reliance on technology to fill that space has really created a new sense of anxiety and a dip in confidence in our ability to be able to connect face-to-face and interpersonally with one another again.
We're craving normalcy, of course, and especially as the holidays come up, we may be craving that normalcy more than ever, but you know, of course, in a time where safety often takes family gatherings out of the equation, you know, do you think this is a time where we just crave it more than ever and that impacts how we kind of go about day to day or our mindset?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the holidays are a time, you know, of tradition. And I think that when we think about the holidays, we think about what those traditions are for us. And usually it means a gathering of people, a celebration of some kind, coming together to share a meal. And, you know, religiously and culturally, traditions mean a lot to all of us. And so as such, this really is a time that we want to be able to connect with one another. It's also a time that we're having to really reevaluate what's best for us individually, and how do we balance that with what the expectation is of our family tradition. Do we gather with everyone else? Am I the only one who isn't going to want to participate, or do I show up and I'm the only one with a mask? So I do think now is a time that we do want to get together even more, and the pressure of the holidays is about us getting together, but it is definitely looking a little bit different. And I think that's a struggle, a really very valid struggle that people are having. How do I have the discussion with other people in my family who have different philosophies of how to gather this year?
Right. And that can build up and just create a lot of anxiety, not in just decision making, but in a lot of things. So we might feel like, hey, I don't even want to do the normal activities. And is that okay too?
Absolutely. I think that this is the time everyone gets a pass. If ever there was a time that you could do things differently, this is the time. So I have a couple examples that are really perfect, because I talked to a neighbor who has grown kids, and I saw her in the backyard on Thanksgiving, and I said, what are you guys doing? How are you doing today? And she said, this is the first year that I haven't had to prepare and cook. And not that it's a bad thing, I have loved it, but I get to go to my daughter's house and show up with a pie, and she's doing everything. And it was a very small gathering, just the four of them, and they were protecting themselves. And she said, it feels good. I didn't know how I was going to feel not having all of my kids at my house, but it really felt nice to be able to gather with one of her kids and their family. And then the next day they were going to spend some time with another one of the kids. And for them, it really worked out nicely. And she had shared that she talked to a couple other people, a couple other friends who had said, you know, it really has been nice to sort of do things a little bit differently and take a break where you need to. Also in my family, I realized this year, my kids shared with me for the first time that they don't necessarily love all of the food, the side dishes that I put out for Thanksgiving. And they love the tradition of being together with the whole family. But this year, since we weren't doing that, they asked if we were really going to be having all those side dishes. And I said, of course, that's what we always do. And they weren't into it as much as I wanted them to be. And after that initial conversation and some hurt feelings of, wait, this is the way we've always done it, don't you want to stay that way? I thought, all right, well, how do I get them to buy into this? So I said, okay, if you all don't like those side dishes, then why don't you come up with a dish that you do want? And how about if you make it, or I can help you make it? And so that's what we did. And it was a perfectly imperfect Thanksgiving. I made everything I wanted to make, and they contributed what they wanted to contribute to. And they felt, I guess they bought into it a little bit more, because they were able to contribute in a way they wanted to. And I have to be honest, one of the meals was, my oldest wanted mac and cheese, homemade mac and cheese. We had never done it before. And he made it, and it was a smash hit. Everybody loved it. The five of us in my family, everybody loved it. And I thought, okay, well, I gained something from this. I know it doesn't look like the tradition that I thought we'd have on the table, but from this point forward, he loved it. And that's what I want. I want them to be happy. That's what makes the tradition so valuable for me. So I think that we've learned how to change things moving forward.
Yeah, it sounds like a good kind of healthy compromise. This is just like one example of coping and making the best of what we're going through. What are some other healthy coping mechanisms we can use, you know, especially as winter is upon us? Like, we don't have snow quite yet, but it's getting colder. Cases are surging. We need to get through a difficult winter.
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, you know, as we talked about before, those same mechanisms are important. So really making sure that we're paying attention to self-care, putting yourself and your family first, and learning to be able to stand up to, like I had said, difference of family philosophies of how to gather and where to gather and in what way you can gather. Being really true to being able to say, this works for us. This is what is best for us. and in our family, and letting the pressure of everything else go. I'm sorry, we can't gather. This is what's best for us. Or we're going to show up, but we'll be there for a short period of time. We're all going to wear masks, and this is what is working for us. So really being able to be an advocate for what works best for you individually is going to be really important. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you're working your best at staying self-regulated. And so through that, we need to make sure that we're doing the things that we've talked about before, which is proper sleep and exercise, and in particular, schedules and structure, and making sure that we do follow some type of external structure. When we have external structures, it leads to predictability, and that predictability provides a sense of safety and security for us. And so this is really the importance. I know sometimes it's hard to create a schedule and to stick to it, but really what we're doing is we're creating a constant. We're creating something we can control in a time of unpredictability when we feel like things are out of control.
Something that a lot of people have been struggling with as we are making our schedules at home or working from home, living in this new world we're in, is our levels of productivity. You know, so with everything going on, it's hard to be as productive as we once were or think we should be. You know, there's a lot of pressure in, well, I should be getting this done. And that can impact self-worth a lot. So how would you recommend viewing our individual levels of productivity in a different light?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, because I did have a client who came in with the exact same concern this week. And she just said, you know, I'm feeling like I just can't perform 100% in all of the areas that I want to be able to. I think one of the things that has happened is mentally, we have all stayed where we were pre-COVID, and we're not necessarily taking into consideration how much everyone, the whole world, has changed. And so we're still expecting that we need to be able to perform our work duties, our home duties, our parental duties, being good to ourselves. We're trying to do that as well as we did before, but right now we're balancing so many more things. But we also have to understand, so is everyone else. So I have talked to a lot of students who have been coming in, and they're concerned. You know, I'm in high school. I'm supposed to be preparing for college. I don't, you know, what are they going to say about ACT tests when I haven't been able to get into an ACT test? And I'm so concerned that with COVID, you know, there have been lapses in academic support that where they've normally needed it. And I think they don't understand. The colleges who are accepting them have gone through COVID too. The bosses you're reporting to have gone through COVID too. The families that you're living with are going through the exact same situation. We all have to adjust our level of expectation to meet what is best for us. As long as you repeat the mantra, am I being who I need to be for me, you will be able to perform the best for other people. You have to put yourself first. It's really got to be first on everyone's list right now of priorities. Give yourself a break. Understand that you're doing the best you can in a completely new environment.
Right. And putting ourselves first kind of goes along the lines of, you know, the phrase, be kind to yourself. But sometimes I feel like that can be used in a dismissive way. So how can we balance like being kinder to ourselves while also recognizing when we reach a point where, you know, we can't dismiss behaviors or patterns, and maybe we do need some extra help or extra support?
So I always say the rule of thumb here is really look at 2 weeks. So depth and duration. Are you able to stay regulated for a period of 2 weeks? And what I mean by staying regulated is maintaining a sense of calm and balance for your well-being. So are you able to stay regulated for a period of 2 weeks or more? And if you are not, is this starting to impact your daily life or your daily routine? If you find that for a period of 2 weeks or more, you are not able to get through your daily life and your routine has been disrupted, and you're not wanting to get out of bed, you're not wanting to go to work, and you're finding your grades are falling behind, you're not reaching out to people as much as you were, don't be afraid to call someone like myself. And likewise, if you notice in someone else that they have changed and you acknowledge that change, reach out to them and acknowledge, I see a change. I notice a change in your behavior or the way that you're interacting at work or the fact that you haven't called in a couple of days. Are you okay? And you can always call a counselor and ask for advice. You don't have to make an appointment to come in. You can ask for advice for yourself. You can ask for advice for someone else. And we're here to help right now, particularly more than ever. We've united with our clients and we understand this is the first time, I think, in my life, certainly, and I think in many people's lives, where counselors and clients are going through the exact same stressors at the exact same time. So we certainly do understand that sometimes we just need some advice for how to get through that day or a particular period of time.
That's definitely a good thing to keep in mind. And Christine Finnerty, I want to thank you so much for joining us again and sharing your insights.
Oh, thank you so much.
Christine Finnerty is a mental health therapist in Elm Grove, Wisconsin, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.